Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I just feel that I have a word from the Lord, and he gave it to me while I was in Perth. And as I was standing up ministering, it was like my view was of the Indian Ocean, literally. It was like that. I was standing on the pulpit, and the whole big front window, you just looked right out over the Indian Ocean. And, you know, the expanse is great there because, I mean, they've sort of built Perth in the middle of a desert. And it just keeps going and going and going. And I felt the Lord say, New Zealand, you have felt insignificant and you have felt small. You have felt like just a grain of sand amongst many. He said, but I'm going to expand you in this hour. He says, I'm going to expand you from the left and from the right. He said, this is your time now to shine. And I know that we've heard many words, you know, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But this truly is your hour and this is your time. And he showed me New Zealand being a tugboat. Wasn't a ship, it was a tugboat. And I thought, that's unusual, you know, because we've always seen ourselves as a ship. And there are ships, by the way, but this is just what he showed me. He said, New Zealand, you are a tugboat and the other nations. And at that time, being in Australia, he showed me Australia being the ship. And he showed me New Zealand guiding and bringing in the nations into port, into this nation. And it's like we've seen a tugboat as being small, but it carries much power. Without the tugboat, the ships cannot come in. They cannot navigate correctly. And it's like, and I saw the harbour master, and the harbour master was giving directions. And the harbour master is Holy Spirit. It is Jesus, it's Father God. And he was directing the nations to come into the port of New Zealand. So it's time, New Zealand, to wake up. It's time to take your stand at this hour. He said, because you are going to expand. And I just felt for you, Wes and Janet, that the Lord says your territory is going to expand even further. Now, I know the situation. You bought another property. He said, but it is not going to stop there. He said, it is going to expand on your left and on your right. He said, this is just the beginning of what I am doing in these days. And he says, I am a miracle worker. And you're going to see the miracles and the awe of God in this day. He said, so don't despair with the delay. He said, because I am moving. Amen. 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 And Wes, you have no idea what I was, you know, bringing this morning. And what Wes bought was absolutely what I'm going to bring this morning in regards to getting off the hamster wheel, because this is the word that the Lord spoke to me. And over the last 6 months, the Lord has pulled me aside. It's like I've kind of been out of it, but he said, I want you to come aside with me. I stopped meetings after 13 years of doing them every week. And he said, I want you to come and I want you to sit at my feet. Basically, he was saying, I want you to come and I want you to lay on the altar. And so my word today is get off the hamster wheel and get on the altar of God. And if you want to know what an altar is, well, good old Google. I love Google. And the scripture, the altar, is a sacred place where humanity meets with God. It represents a place of worship, sacrifice, covenant, intercession, and divine encounter. Altars were built by the patriarchs to mark places of divine visitation and remembrance, and they symbolize dedication, repentance, and thanksgiving. Spiritually, the altar is a place of surrender and transformation, where we offer our lives as a living sacrifice in Romans 12:1. So today, the altar can also represent the posture of the heart, a lifestyle of worship, and places of prayer and consecration. I'm just going to jump straight in, for this is what I heard the Lord say. And if you want to sit down, you're more than welcome to sit down. It's like, thank you so much. So this is the word of the Lord. And I don't use this lightly. And everything that I bring to you today is either what I have walked or what I'm going through right now or what I'm about to go through. So it's like I don't leave myself out of the equation. But I believe that this is a word for not just this church, but this is a word for the church. This is a word for all people. And we want to grab a hold of this. It's like because it is going to bring life to you. It's going to bring about a transformation. Amen. And who doesn't want transformation? It's like it all began actually when I was reading about Gideon and he was in the wine press and he was, you know, doing the whole wheat thing. Well, you don't do, you know, go sifting wheat and that in a wine press. But because of the Midianites and how they kept pillaging the land and taking everything from them, here's Gideon hiding in a wine press and he's doing the wheat and he's sifting the wheat. I think that's what it's called. So he's sifting the wheat. And then suddenly an angel of the Lord appears and says, "Hey Gideon, mighty man of valor." And Gideon is like looking around and that you can just see him because he's like terrified. He's terrified of the Midianites. It's like they've been under such suppression. It's like, and I feel, it's like this is where the church has been at. The church has been suppressed. It's been held down. It's been held back. It's like there are things that are going on in the world, and we've kind of been in the background. It's like, well, we just won't make too much noise, and that otherwise it's going to draw too much attention. And we don't want the attention, we want the attention in church, but we don't want the attention in the world. And so the angel of the Lord comes and he challenges Gideon and he says, "Oh, mighty man of valor, it's like you're going to be the one. I've chosen you to be the one to bring liberty to the Israelites. You're going to bring and set the captives free." Now he challenges the angel of the Lord. And so as the story goes on, he goes, "Look, if this is really real, if this is really how it's going to be, wait here, and so I've got to come back and bring an offering." So he goes, prepares a goat, and I often wondered, you know, when they did these things, preparing a goat or a calf, I mean, it was no small feat, because they had to kill it, gut it, skin it, then they had to cook it. And that, so it wasn't a five-minute job. They didn't just go to the freezer or the cellar and pull out something that was already, whack it in the microwave, good, she's done, 10 minutes and we step out. No, it was a process that took place. And I believe that God is taking us through a process right now. And he is preparing the body of Christ right now. Amen. It's like to bring us to where we need to be, to where we are going to fully trust and fully function as a body. Amen. So it's like Gideon runs off, prepares a goat in milk. It's like makes flatbread, brings it out. The angel of the Lord is sitting there under the tree and he's holding a staff. And he says, "I will not eat of this." He says, "But place it on that rock." The rock was an altar. And so he did that. And he put the goat on, the bread on, poured the broth on. And the angel of the Lord held out his staff and fire came. Listen, whenever we come to the altar, you've got to understand that it is a sacred place. It's a sacred thing. And that if you're going to dare come to the altar, you better know it's like that as you come as a living sacrifice, fire is going to come. You know what? It's like fire is going to come upon the body of Christ in a way that we have not seen because we have not understood fully the significance of the altar. Amen. So the Lord spoke this to me. He said, "You have been spinning, running, chasing cycles that never end." Wow. It was like, you know, it can be quite shocking. It's like because he's pulled me out. And it's like, and you think you're doing really good, and you are. But. So my house has been the quietest it has ever been in 6 months. It's like it has been quiet. It's like, because he's removed all distractions. It's like, you know, you have to discipline yourself, but he's removed even the desire to go shopping. He's removed the desire to do things that women love to do. And it's like, you know, even going to cafes and doing stuff like that. It's like he has just stripped everything away. And that so I would come fully to him and come to the altar. He said that never ends, a hamster wheel of striving, survival, and self-effort. You measure progress by movement, you know, and I so fell into that trap. As long as we are busy, as long as we're busy doing ministry, as long as we're doing another meeting, as long as we are busy, as long as we are seen to be busy, we're good. And it's like, and God is saying, it's like, I want you to get off that hamster wheel and I want you to get on the altar, but I'll bring more of that soon. You measure progress by movement, but I, the Lord, measure progress by surrender. And so as Wes was saying this morning and prophesying, it's like he is calling the church back to himself, back to our first love. It's like it's not all about, it's like having to do and be. But it's about coming and totally surrendering to the Master, totally laying down everything. So as I read about Gideon, it was like that Wednesday. It was like I was meeting with the ladies. They came around and I was just sharing the story. And suddenly I felt the Lord say, I want you to build an altar. I thought, ooh, okay. I can remember doing something like that in Israel when we first went. And I thought, okay. And I'm looking around thinking, okay, what am I going to use to build an altar? And of course, you know, I found a pot filled with pumice stones. And I put it in the lounge. And I said to the ladies, I said, this is really what I feel the Lord is saying to do, that we're to build an altar. And the presence of God was so strong, he came, and it was like, and we just began to lay everything. I said, lay everything on the altar. I said, don't hold back. I said, lay everything on the altar. And as we did that, it was like, I just began to weep. I couldn't stop weeping. It was like there was just this release that came. Well, the following week, you know, because we hadn't done prophetic acts in a long time. And the following week, it was like, it might have been a couple of days later, because we meet twice a week and pray. And I'm in the kitchen and I'm talking to the ladies. And suddenly I let out a sound. And like everything that is taking place this morning, I'm just going, oh my gosh. And Paulette's saying, you know, on the count of three, we're going to let out a sound. Now you've got to understand what takes place in the spirit realm when we do that. It's like we're just not making noise. Suddenly I let out this almighty, it wasn't a scream, it was like a roar that came from my innermost being, and the ladies joined in. And I said, do it again. And so I was standing there and I went, ha! And it was not holding back. And I said, do it again. And on the third time, the anointing hit so hard. And suddenly the spirit realm opened to me and I saw the enemy be taken so unawares by the sound that had just come out of our mouth, because it's the sound of the Lion of Judah roaring across the land. It was shifting atmosphere. It's breaking chains. It's like delivering people from bondages. There was such a roar that came out. And I saw the enemy catapulting backwards as though he was in space. It was like he was lost his footing. He was taken so unawares. Immediately, I heard the Lord say, quickly, write down everything. Write down everything on a piece of paper that you are believing God for. You know, he says in his word, write the vision, make it plain. It's like, because it's like he says, you know, it's like you've got it set before you.
oh man, I've got so much going on the inside that I want to bring, and it's like I'm just going, God, keep me on track. Oh my God, my God, my God. And so I grabbed pads, and it was like, and we're writing frantically, just everything. Everything that was in our heart, it was like everything that was coming out of us, it was like we were writing down the family, the church, it was like the nation, it was like husbands, wife, it was like everything, children, grandchildren, it was like we were writing it down before the Lord. The Lord spoke to me and he says, I want you to offer this up as a free will offering to me. I thought, I don't even know what a free will offering is. But it really comes down to the heart of worship and a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving. And he says, and I want you to set it on fire like a burnt offering to me. And it was like, and it was confirmed because I'd left the room for a moment. I came back and I'd seen us lighting it. And Julie goes, I feel that we're to light a match. And I said, oh, that's good. I said, because this is what I've seen. And it was like, it was so sacred. So it's like we gathered up our bits of paper. So I thought, man, if people going past saw this sort of stuff, they'd go, witchy, 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 witchy. Like, oh, that's a bit spooky. Is this new covenant? Oh, you bet your days it is. And so we set it on fire, and we lit it on fire. We thought, well, we can't just have the ash just fall to the ground. We burnt it in my colander. And there was a pile of ash there. And we sprinkled that ash later on, one of my pot plants. And Julie got a scripture just about the rains coming down and the harvest. And I'm just going, oh God, we can't make any of this stuff up. It's like, because I've never done this before in my life. And I just thought, God, I thank you that you were shifting things. You're burning things. It's like we're giving it all over to you. It is like total surrender. Total surrender. It's like, God, I want you to be fully in control. He said, you've been active, but not flowing in my anointing. He says, I'm calling you off the wheel and onto my altar. He said in big letters to me, enough. Enough of the endless motion with no transformation. Enough of the distraction that keep you bound to repetition. You've got to understand, I wrestled with this. I was awake at 2:30 this morning, and I mean, I've been sitting on this word, and it's like I've just been wrestling, and I felt like Jeremiah. It's like Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It's like you've got to understand that he was so ridiculed and so misunderstood. It's like by the king and the king's men. It was like he was despised, he was mocked, ridiculed. It was like he had a bad deal. The guy was shoved down a toilet cistern. He was locked in a cage. He was so mistreated. And he got to a point, it was like where he just says, I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm not going to say anything. But then he says, but his word is in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. You see, it got to the point where it was burning on the inside of him, and I felt that way. I felt like, oh God, sometimes the words you give me feel really judgy, and it's like, and you're trying to judge yourself, and you're trying to judge, am I being judgy here, or God, is this the actual word of the Lord? Because you can sometimes feel a little bit gnarly and feel like you're just poking and poking and poking, and that, but God is saying, I want you to come, and I want you to be the hammer that is in my hand, and I want you to break the rock. I want you to shift things. I said to Janet the other week, I said, I feel that my call is to be a reformer. And what does a reformer do? It's like a wrecking ball. Sorry, hold on to your seats. It's like a wrecking ball that comes in and it shifts things. Now, a wrecking ball, when it has a job to do, it comes and it dismantles. Now, it's not dismantling people, it's dismantling idols, it's dismantling ideologies, it's dismantling those strongholds that we have, and we've all had strongholds, and there are people with strongholds, and they need to be shifted, they need to be moved. Now, a wrecking ball doesn't go, well, I better just be really gentle here. No, it actually has a job to do. It comes in and it shifts stuff. We don't pet demons. We don't pet the devil. Come on. It's like, man, we want to shift some stuff. And I know that there is a call of God on living waters, and there has been a huge battle, and there has been huge resistance in the atmosphere. But I'm telling you that God is coming, and he is shifting and moving. And if you have ears to hear, let them hear, and eyes to see what the Lord is doing and saying in this time. Whew, thank you, Jesus. So he says, enough of distractions that keep you bound to repetition. Enough of the systems of man that promise purpose but deliver only weariness. It's like he gave me a word Christmas Day, and he was talking about breaking the traditions of man. You know, we can get tied up in traditions, and it was so bizarre. I had the most bizarre Christmas. It was like, because we weren't at home, we weren't with family, other than with Pete and Ella, you know, and it was like, and we went away, and we were in a tent. Like, it was so extraordinary, because it was like nothing that we had ever done. We always have Christmas at home, and we always have a new robe, and we always get a photo, and we do this every year. But I feel like God's saying, I'm coming in and I'm breaking the repetition. I'm breaking the traditions of man. It's like, and I'm bringing about a new thing. You see, we can't carry the new wine if we continue in the same old. It's just not going to work. And I know that we are changing. Oh, praise God. He says, I am breaking the illusion that your hustle is holy. You have no idea what is coming to this house. It is not of destruction. I tell you, it is of God's glory. And it's like, and the reason why, it's like he is coming with what seems to be quite a hard word. I mean, but who wants to be knocked around? Well, I don't like getting knocked around. But it's like he's wanting to shift those demons, those thoughts, those ways, the way we do things. So he said, I'm wanting to shift it. I'm wanting to move it out of you in order for you to be able to move for me with freedom and liberty. It's like where the church is going to stand out, where the church is going to be a beacon on a hill, where it's going to be that lighthouse. It's like where we're going to be on fire. He did give me a word about the fire in our bones, but I'm doing this. Praise God. Oh. It is not your effort that moves me, he said, it's your obedience. You know, to obey the Lord is better than sacrifice. I think that was an old Keith Green song. It's like, he's just looking for our obedience, not our excuses. It's like he's just looking for our obedience. He says, come to the altar. Come and receive the fire. Come to where the flesh dies and glory lives. Oh, the flesh, I tell you what, it's so deceitfully wicked. Constantly wants its own way. It just pushes and pushes and pushes. It's full of jealousy, envy, and strife. There's nothing good in the flesh. No wonder he says, walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. It's always the spirit. We're spirit beings first, living in a body with a soul, mind, will, emotions, but our will needs to line up and align with the kingdom of heaven. There's so much that God wants to pour into us, but it's like he's saying, I want to get this out of you first. And I tell you what, it's easy. He said, this is a place where I meet with my people on the altar. Not in performance, but in purification. He said, the altar is not a platform. It's not a stage. It's not a conference. He said, the altar is a place of death and therefore a place of resurrection. It's like I just love the story of Elijah and how he went and how he rebuilt the altar. And I felt the Lord say that he's calling for a royal priesthood in this day to rebuild the altar of the Lord. And where the altar has been broken down, we know the story. It's like in Kings, it's like when Jezebel had the altar torn down. You know, there were the false prophets, the prophets of Baal. And then, of course, Elijah comes along. And it's like, and he's going, right, man, this is showtime. He didn't fully complete the mission. But he did what he needed to do in that hour. And that was he rebuilt the altar. And he put a challenge out. And I feel that this is the hour for the church where the church is going to begin to put challenges out to the world. Because they're not going to compromise. They're not going to be silent anymore. But they're going to burn with a holy fire. Elijah rebuilt the altar. It's like he put the sacrifice on the altar. He prayed to heaven. Fire came down and consumed everything. And I'm going, God, I want that fire burning in my bones. I want that fire of consecration, of purification. God, I want to walk like that. Unashamed, untamed, wild, free. The church has been held down for far too long. It's like it is time to come up out of the ashes. And it is time to burn for Jesus. You say you want my fire, but my fire only falls where there is sacrifice. You say you want my glory, but my glory is released on the other side of surrender. So in other words, listen, it's like, you come, it's like, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Do you know we give altar calls? You know, and people run up and it's like, oh, good, now I want the preacher or I want the visiting speaker or I want that person to lay hands on me because I think they've got more power than that one over there. And I don't really like that one over there anyway. It's like, you know, and so we're defining the anointing. And if you are born again and you're spirit filled and you're surrendered to God, if you are totally consecrated to Him, it's like you are going to release the power of God. You're going to release the fire of God, whatever it is you're releasing at that time. It's His anointing. So I'm going, whoa, Jesus. The altar is where I consumed Abraham's obedience. It's like Abraham, I tell you what, he laid out an offering before the Lord and it was sort of like a pigeon and other things that he laid out and God came down. That was an altar. It was like, man, it was like he was consecrated. Father Abraham, what an example. And God came down in fire. Whew. And I'm going, have we seen that sort of fire? Come on, if you did in the Old Testament, it's like he did in the New, we've got a far better covenant. Like, what sort of fire is God going to release in this time for his church, for his people? What is he going to do through us? He says, greater things, he said, shall you do. I need to go to be with the Father, but you, he says, you, each one of you are going to do far greater things than what I did here on earth. It was like God had a limited time. He had 3 years of miracle signs and wonders. It's like we've got a lifetime. It's like, what are we doing? We went to Fremantle Market while we were Sunday after church. And we walked in there, and I went up to one guy and a girl, and they were, you know, giving out sample food and that, and they were from the Middle East. I said, whereabouts are you from? And he said, Israel. It was like, I'm telling you, it was like the anointing of God was just going ping, 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 ping. It was like, it was so strong, it was so ridiculous, and I just started talking to them, two beautiful young Israelis. Girl and a guy. I said, oh, you two, husband and wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, wife. Oh, no, I've only just met her and that. But man, there was just something so on them. God. I said, I love the Jewish people. I said, we've been to Israel a number of times. And it was like, whoa. After talking to them about Yeshua, because I just said, well, where do you guys stand? What do you understand about Yeshua? You know, and it was like, and they're teaching me stuff. It's like not born again, but they were teaching me stuff about Judaism and just about, you know, the whole debating process. And, you know, it's like they don't get offended over it. I mean, it's expected that you sit down and you debate with the rabbis the word of God. And that, and I said, I understand that there are many meanings to just one word. I said, our English language is so small. It was quite good to know a little bit, you know, so I didn't seem ignorant. And I says, I want to prophesy of you. I want to bless you. And I did. And honestly, it was like I thought, if there's any more power, I'm just going to disintegrate. You know, when you've been in, it's just like you're thinking, man, and I mean, the market's full, people everywhere, hustling, bustling, and man, and I'm just standing there, and I'm just prophesying the blessing of God, and I want to prophesy over you right now. The blessing of the Lord shall be upon you, that you will burn with the fire of God in this season, that you will understand and have revelation, knowledge. It's like wisdom, that you will have a knowing of his goodness and his mercy and his grace in this hour, that when you come to the altar, it's like you are going to burn with fire, that you are going to die to the flesh, and that you are going to live in Christ like you've never known before. I release that over you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. For the Lord says, I am sending a shockwave over this land. He says, I'm sending a shockwave of my glory. He said, it is going to flatten everything. He said, that would try and rise up against me. He says, I'm going to shift and move those things in this hour. Oh, thank you, Almighty God. He is moving in power. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. The altar is where Elijah called down fire. The altar is where my son Jesus gave himself fully and forever. And he says, and now I call you to the altar. And if you feel that you need to come to the altar at any time, please do enter at your own risk. Oh, look, I know, you know, a bit of tongue in cheek. It's like the Lord says when he, listen, there is a shockwave coming. And he said, and it's going to change the matter. It's like, you know how we have something solid and then it turns to liquid. It's like the matter changes. The substance changes. He said, I'm going to change the matter. He said, and what, it's a bit of a play on words, and what mattered to you shall matter no more. So he's going to change the way we see things because it's not going to matter anymore. It's going to be irrelevant. It's going to be obsolete. It's just not, you're not even going to turn around and have a look. It's like, no, you're going to forge forward. Oh, the clock's gone. Look at that. Hallelujah. This is a season, or the season of the altar. I'm raising up living sacrifices, and as I said to you earlier in Romans 12, 1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Where we once just visited the altar, we're now going to live on the altar. I tell you, it is one of the most amazing places to be at. In all of my Christian walk, I feel like this would be the most significant time that I've walked. It's like where it has truly been a dying to self, and it's just a constant dying. It's like, die. And as I said earlier, it's like my house has just been so quiet, and I've disciplined myself into keeping certain days free because they're for the Lord. And it's like he's waiting. It's like, you know that, don't you? It's like when, it's like, man, the last person leaves the room and it's like, yes, I'm coming, Lord. And it's like, and you feel him pulling you, you feel the call. And I'll often go up to my office, I'll sit down, and I just weep. I just weep because when he said, come and sit at my feet, I said, good Lord, because I don't want to be doing the talking. I want you to talk to me. And so that's what he's been doing. So the last 6 months is been absolutely a journey, and it's a journey of hearing his voice more clearly than I've ever heard his voice before. It's like getting rid of the distractions. It's getting off the hamster wheel, or the bandwagon, as we would say in New Zealand. He's looking for those who will say, not my will, but yours be done. Those who will burn with a holy love that cannot be quenched by fame. I like this, the four F's. Fame, fortune, fear's a killer, or fatigue. And if the enemy can get us that busy, where we become so fatigued and so worn out and so weary, it's like we're really not effective or fully effective. Because God wants us fully charged. And we're supposed to be taking charge of the world. Because we have all the solutions. We have every solution that there is on the face of the earth. We are to be the problem solvers. That can only come through being refined and being totally surrendered at the altar. It is where God comes and meets with man. And he will speak so clearly. He said, you've danced around the altar. You've sung at the altar. But now he says, I call you onto the altar. He says, lay yourself down. Lay down your ambitions. Oh boy, I tell you, the things I've said to the Lord, you can have the lot. I said to him at 2:30 this morning, I can't do this. I'm not doing this, God. I don't want to do this. I have arguments with him. It's like on Mother's Day, I got bought 2 lemon trees, standard lemon trees, beautiful lemon trees. I thought, great, man. And I tell you what, I'm going to be vulnerable here. I truly have been in a battle. I have been battling. And And I said to the Lord, I don't want to be a prophet. I don't want to do this anymore. It's like, here we go. I don't even want to come to church, God. I don't want to do any of it. I just want to stay at home and I want to plant lemon trees and I'll make lemonade. Well, has he put the squeeze on me? I love you all. He says, lay down your ambitions. He says, lay your timeline down. Because I tell you what, God's not governed by the 24-hour clock. He's not governed by years or days. He's not governed. He's not sitting up there going, oh my God, the church has not been built yet. And oh, what are we going to do? Jesus, what are we going to do? Oh my gosh. You know, and he's not up there wringing his hands and fretting and worrying. It's like he sits in the heavens and he thrusts his head back and he laughs. And I tell you, we need to come into a place where we laugh in the face of the enemy, where we go, oh, you silly thing, you. So we lay down our timeline. He says, lay down your ministry. He said, lay your comfort down. And in that place of yielding, he said, I will do what only I can do. He said, I will consume you with my fire. And I've been praying, God, release your fire. God, release your fire. As I put your fire, God, in me. It's like a number of years ago, it was like I was praying fire of God every day. Fire, 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 God, fire, God. Blue, blue sky. Ella and I going down to the supermarket and there's one big cloud over our place and it was in a perfect, perfect form of a person, long hair at the back. It was in a stance like this. It was perfect. Of course, you didn't have cameras on your phone. Like, it was like, and I'm just sitting there and I'm marveling. I said, that looks like an angel on skis. That's truly what it looked like. It was so big and it was right over our house. So, of course, you know, clouds move and break up and that. So we go down to the supermarket. We're there. Half an hour later, come back and it's still in perfect form over our house. I sat there and I just marveled. I just went, what is that? It looks like an angel on skis. Well, it was a number of days later and I happened to go onto a site, a prophet over in America, and she said there's been much angel activity. She said, and we were in Missouri, and she said, there was the fire angel, she said, over Missouri, and she said, we stopped and we took a photo of it. And she said, pull up the slide. She puts up the slide. Well, I nearly fell off my chair. I rang Ella, I said, oh my gosh. I said, you wouldn't believe it. I said, that cloud that looked like a snow angel on skis, long hair, like you could, it was as clear as clear. I said, it's the fire angel. I said, the fire angel showing up in Missouri. And I'm saying, God, come and do it again. Come and release, God, the fire angel in this nation. Because I tell you what, when fire gets on things that are dry and brittle, it's like what happens? It begins to burn. And I'm going, burn, baby, burn. He said, I'm going to consume you with my fire and raise you up in my power. You will not leave the same way you came. And we're down to 17 seconds. He said, for those who die at my altar, he said, I will raise in resurrection glory. He said, you will speak and nations will listen. I so know that nations are coming to this nation. Even though we seem very small, even though we seem just like a tugboat, it's like it carries much power. New Zealand carries much power. And when I prophesied earlier about things expanding, it's like as the nations come in, we are going to expand so that we can receive what they have got, and we're going to be able to release to the nations. He said, you will speak to nations and they will listen, not because of eloquence, but because of the fire. He said, you will walk and doors will open, not because of influence, but because of the incense that is going to come out of your innermost being. You will lead, and I believe that New Zealand will lead, will be one of the nations that will lead. We're not the only nation, but we will be one, and we are a pioneering nation. We know this. We often try things before any other nation in the world. Often not good things, but the first anyhow. So we're a pioneering nation. We're a spearheading nation. So we're making room. We're making way. We're cutting through. He said, you will lead and the earth will shake. Not because of our charisma, but because of consecration to the Lord. He said, get off the wheel and get on the altar. He said, oh my gosh. He said, this is not a suggestion. He said, but it's a divine summons. So the Lord is summoning the church to come. It's like, you know, when you get summoned in court, or you get, you know, you're told, you know, you've got to go on jury duty. You know, you've been summoned, you've been called, and God is calling the church. It's not just a nice suggestion. Well, you know, I'd kind of like you to come. He's saying you come. It's like, because we don't want to miss. And you might be thinking, oh, we're not going to miss. We're not going to miss what God's going to do. I mean, it's just going to fall in our lap, and it's all just going to be honky-tonky and, you know, all cozy and sweet and that. And I'm going, no, it isn't. It's like we have to act now. It's like because now is the time. And he said, this is a divine summons. The days of casual Christianity are over. He said, I am branding a remnant. You know, and a remnant isn't just a small little bunch of people. Well, we've got the fire and you haven't got the fire and we're better than you. You know, and New Zealand's the only one that's got the fire and no other nation's got the fire and we're going to be the forerunners. It's nothing like that. This is going out around the globe. It's like there are prophets speaking. It's like, I'm just astounded. It's like, which is really, it's really cool. It's like, because when God has been speaking to me, it's like several days later, it's like, one or two prophets will come up, you know, that are overseas, Nate Johnson being one of them. And I tell you, it's just like so bang, I'm going, oh, good, I'm on track. I'm on track. Because you want to know, it's like that you are on track and that you are hearing from God. And it's like out of two or three witnesses, let the word be established. It's like, so we need, it's like we need to have one another. Iron sharpens iron. It's like we need to hear. It's like what God is saying. He said, so I am branding a remnant with the fire from the altar, marked, purified, and unstoppable. He says, choose the altar and you will find me. Choose the altar and you will be transformed. He says, choose the altar and you will never go back to the wheel again. Amen and amen. And I was only 4 minutes over, and my apologies for that. This truly is a day, I believe, that we can mark on our calendars. We don't want to be coming to church and just hearing another word. It's like these words are markers for where we're going. It's like, and we need to heed the word of the Lord. It's like, you know, time and time again, it was like Israel would hear the word of the Lord. The prophets would come in and speak, the prophets would be killed. The prophets would be stoned. But when you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. And I tell you what, it's like, I really am just so humble. It's like, in regards to the whole prophet deal. Because it really hasn't been a pleasant journey, but God. And, you know, if anyone sort of goes, I want to be a prophet, good on you. Hey, Janet. Oh, my goodness me. Because I tell you what, we walk it, we breathe it, we dream it, we live it more often than not, before anybody else. And that is by no means saying that we are more important and we're more blessed or anything like that. No, it's just the order of things. And God likes order. Amen. And I want to open the altar this morning. To those, I just feel, you know, the Lord's already put the word out. And he's saying, you know, it's not just a suggestion. But I want to summons this church in the name of the Lord to come to the altar. And to dare lay everything down. Every dream. Every aspiration, every ambition. Your children, they may be away from the Lord. I want you to lay them at the altar. I want you to come and I want you to lay yourself. This is a sacred place. This is a place where God meets with man. This is a place where fire comes down. This is not just a nice act of service that we do every Sunday, especially for those who are not born again. And if you are not born again, I would encourage you. It's like now is your time. It's like your time to come forth. It's your time to surrender fully to God. It's like lay it all down at his feet, because God wants to put in you a brand new heart. So I want to invite you to come this morning, because I know that I want to be transformed. I want to be transparent in everything that I do. It's like I don't want to hold anything back. It's like, man, I've been through gnarly times. I've been through attitudes. It's like I've been angry. It's like, if only you knew what took place over in Perth the first 2 days. It was like, seriously, it was like I went, oh, God. Thank God for intercessors. Thank God that they were praying. It was like, because it was hard. And then I went, thank God for Sunday. Because it was like I went, oh God, there is a God, and I feel totally redeemed. He is so good. And if we could have some music, that would be wonderful. It's like, you know, we sing songs about the fire of God. We sing songs about total surrender. We, you know, I surrender all, you know, and it's like, oh God, let your fire fall, you know, and we sing these songs and I'm going, oh Jesus, Lord, if your fire falls, what are we going to look like? I said to the Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. And God, if I just end up in an ash heap, God, let it be so. Oh God, let your fire fall. God, let your fire fall in this house this morning. God, let your fire come down. Oh, some of you may need to repent. Some of you may need to turn away. It's like, listen, I would just suggest that you just put everything on the altar. In other words, put yourself on the altar. Put yourself on the altar. It's not about any person laying hands on you. It's about you surrendering all to him. It's like everything. Surrender your dreams. Surrender all to Him. That means everything. I mean, I've been so bold in the coming days, just saying, God, if I die, I die, and if I live, I live. But God, I don't want anything of me. I want all of You. It's like I want to be surrendered to You. And you know what? Things pop up. That's okay. It's like, God, I just put it on the altar right now. I put my marriage on the altar. I put my children on the altar. God, I'm not picking it up again. God, I'm placing them on the altar right now. God, what seems impossible, God, You will make possible. God is the God of the impossible, people. Why do you think we do this week in, week out? Wes and Janet, you know, carrying the vision. It's like, and it's like when I built the altar in the lounge, I said to Janet, I put the church on the altar. I put Living Waters on the altar. It's like we put the building on the altar. We put everything on the altar. Because up out of the ashes, something glorious is going to arise. Something so pure and so holy that it can't be denied. It won't be denied by you, and it won't be denied by the world. The world will see. That is why God is saying, get off the roller coaster ride. Get off the hamster wheel, because now is your time. Some of you have been sitting for years and years and years, waiting and waiting, and God is saying, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting and calling you to come on the altar. And to I want you to give me your all. I know, I believe, and I trust in my Lord that from this day forth, everything is going to change in your lives. Everything is going to change for Living Waters Christian Center. Everything is going to change. And if you are watching online, everything is going to change in your life today. This is not just a sweet word. This is a word from the Lord that God is the God of the turnaround. And no wonder He says, you know, if you have ears to hear. Well, we've all got ears. And we can all hear a word, but He's talking spiritually. If you've got ears to hear in the Spirit, what the Spirit of God is saying. It will unlock doors for you. Doors are going to swing wide open for you in this season. But there is a process, and that is the altar. We come to the altar. Father, I thank You for these precious ones. Father, I thank You for Your body, because You care about Your body. You love Your body. You're a merciful God. You're a good, good Father. We just don't realize how good You are and how merciful You are. You know, in Pensacola, it's like when Pensacola broke out, there was a song that Charity would sing, and it was about the mercy seat, and it was all about the mercy seat, the mercy seat. And the moment she began to sing, it was like the mercy seat, as people would start running and throwing themselves on the altar. Lives were changed in a split second. One guy was riding his motorbike. He was tattooed up. He wasn't even saved. And it was like, and he was waiting in line for hours and hours and hours, and he had heard a voice say to him, you need to go to this place. So he rode for hours to get to the place. He stood in line. There was a reporter there that said, why are you here? He said, I heard a voice say, come, you're going to meet a man. And she said, well, who's the man? And he said, I don't know, lady. He said, I was just told to come, and that when I go inside, I was going to meet a man, and he was going to change everything. We have to be ready, church. There is expansion coming. There is a world that is coming in. And if we're full of woes and worries and anxiety and fear, it's like, I just want to break that off you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, where you felt like you'd just been going around and around and around for years. It's like dealing with the same issues over and over and over again. It's like it stops today. It stops today. I tell you what, the fire of God comes and it consumes. It consumes our enemies. It's not consuming people, it's consuming our enemies. Every enemy that is an enemy to God will be consumed. And often it's the stuff that battles in the mind. And God is coming and He's saying, I want you to lay it all down. But you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand the pressure that I'm under. You don't understand, blah, blah, blah. God's saying, lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. And you wait. And then God, He holds out a scepter. He holds out His staff and He consumes with fire. Father, release your fire in this house. Release your fire, Father, on every heart. Father God, that is drawn near to you. He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you and I will show you great and marvelous things that you know not of. Father, I ask right now for your all-consuming fire, Father God, to be released, Father God, in this house right now. God, that you would pour out your Spirit, Almighty God, like we have never seen before. God, let it rain in this house today. God, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. God, pour out, pour out, pour out your fire, Almighty God. Father God, consume everything, Father God, that is not of you. Consume it all. Consume it all. You are so mighty, God. You are so mighty, oh God. If you are feeling broken, if you are feeling weary, if you are tired, it's like put yourself on the altar. He will refine you like the refiner's fire. It's like He will refine you as pure gold. He will refine you. He will fill every bit of brokenness with His glory, with His gold. It will shine out of you. You see, we think we have to be perfect. We can't be perfect. Even though in His word it says, be ye perfect as I'm perfect, or be ye holy as I'm holy. It's like it is only God that can perfect. It is only God that can make whole. And so, Father, I ask right now that you would come, Father God, with your holiness, that you would come, Almighty God, with your perfection, that you would come, Almighty God, with your gold, that you would come, Almighty God, with your glory, that you would come, Almighty God, with your fire. Father God, we ask that you would come and that you would move, Father God, upon your precious people today.